Good morning and welcome to Neocon View. I'm Peter Newman and we are coming to you this morning from KTIL Radio in Tillamook. And one of the reasons I'm mentioning that is I have the great privilege of being in the studio this morning for you longtime lovers of Tillamook Radio, the studio that Mildred Davey occupied for so many years. And I get to sit in her chair, which makes me extremely excited this morning because... What a wonderful chair to occupy.
It is.
And with us this morning is Maria Nagy. She is president and board president and director of the Tillamook Animal Shelter. Also, the reason we're at KTIL is she's the program director and traffic and operations manager. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning.
It's kind of fun back being at this radio station.
It is. It's like old times.
Yeah, I used to sit in this chair filling in for Mildred every now and then. And now you're doing it.
Now, occasionally, yeah. I have sat there and done Tillamook today, yes.
But that's not why we are here to talk with you. We are here to talk about animals, and I keep returning to this subject periodically, and it's not just that I'm obsessed with animals, but because the need is so great, and what's happening in Tillamook is, well, kind of problematic, wouldn't you say?
It is. The need is huge here in Tillamook, and for years, we've had a real problem with filling the needs of the animals in Tillamook. So this has been a really exciting year for us.
Why is it? Why is it so difficult to get people's attention on something which we all sort of believe someplace down in our heart is something that is important and we care about?
I think that a lot of people have really good intentions when it comes to animals, and perhaps they don't have the means or the ability to take care of their animals properly. And it's really hard to get any kind of assistance with doing that. Say vet assistance for spay-neuter. That is the most important part of owning an animal, is making sure that you're not adding to the unwanted animal population. And I think that it's really hard here in this county to get spay-neuter services at a reasonable cost. I mean, if you have to pay $200 to get a cat altered, that's a lot of money that a lot of people just can't afford, especially, you know, a family. And so I think access to spay-neuter is a huge part of the problem.
And then you don't do it, and then you have five or six kittens, and then you've got five or six problems.
And, you know, people say, oh, well, I can always find homes for them. But you give those kittens away, and you give them away perhaps to people who have a great place in their heart and want to love the animal, but maybe don't have the ability to get it spayed and neutered, and then more kittens and puppies. You know, we've had people that have refused to get their animals spayed and neutered and have given us 5 and 6 litters of puppies.
So what do you do about that?
Well, we try to assist them with spay-neuter services. But sometimes people can make it hard to do that. You know, when you have to drive clear to South County and pick up an animal, and our vet happens to be up in Nehalem. So it can be hard to facilitate the whole thing. I mean, we drive from Tillamook, we'll drive clear down to the very outer reaches of South County, drive an animal up to Nehalem, wait all day while it gets spayed and neutered, and then drive it home. We've done that numerous times just to take an animal out of the situation of constant litters of puppies or kittens. So I really think access and just education and ability to get spay and neuter, that is the number one problem. United Paws does a lot to help with that. But even access to their services, we all use Dr. Didlake in Nehalem for spay-neuter services for the most part. And so, you know, the people in South County, it's a long way to Nehalem. And if you are bus dependent, it's even harder.
So there are no veterinarians South County or central part of Tillamook County or even the north part of Lincoln County. There's nobody who can step in. I mean, putting that all at one vet in the north part of a county is, wow, that's a lot of work for him.
It is. It is a lot of work for him. It has become a cost issue. He, for whatever reason, smaller staff, I'm not sure the reasoning behind it. He's able to provide services to United Paws and Tillamook Animal Shelter at a lower cost. And if we can get 2-3 dogs neutered for the price of one, you know, I mean, and I understand the smaller vets have staffs and maybe not as many customers, and they aren't able to give us the discounts that, for whatever reason, Nehalem is able to. So we do use the Central County Vets for emergencies and just regular, if a dog gets hurt or something like that, we will take them here closer. But pretty much all our spay neuter is up north.
Our guest this morning on Neocone View is Maria Nagy. She is the board president and director of the Tillamook Animal Shelter. So, Maria, what is the Tillamook Animal Shelter? Is it currently a physical thing?
It is. Hmm? It is. Last year, we purchased 13 acres of property right at milepost 74 on Highway 101. So, basically, just past south of Pleasant Valley, just north of Yellow Fir and where the weigh station is, down south of town, 7 miles south of Tillamook proper. And we this year got our building all put up. We have a 40 by 60 big building and several outbuildings and a big fenced in area. It's an actual building. I mean, we have offices and a bathroom indoors.
Gee, all the comforts of home.
Well, you know, for years it's been very difficult up at the shelter. The shelter was located at the transfer station. And anybody who came up to visit, if they had to use the facilities, we had to point to the outhouse that was down by the recycling sheds at the dump. And, you know, I mean, in an emergency, that's fine. But it's really nice to have indoor plumbing and a bathroom. And we'll have our own, well, we do have our own washer and dryer, dishwasher. I mean, it's an actual beautiful facility with 10 really nice kennels that are huge. They are 8 feet by 6 feet in the indoor part and also 8 feet by 6 feet in the outdoor part. So every dog has an outside access. They have a little door they go through. So the kennels are big, so we can house 2 and 3 dogs because they like to have friends. The ones that get along.
How many animals then can you accommodate, max?
Well, technically, if we were to put 2 dogs per kennel, that would be 20 big dogs. We also have rooms where we can house smaller dogs in smaller kennels. So, I mean, theoretically, we could probably house 30 plus if absolutely necessary. Not that we like to be that high in numbers, but lately there have been times when we've had 20 plus dogs.
And what about
right now?
And what about the cats?
Well, we hope to expand to kitties. Right now, the dogs are still in what's going to be the cat buildings. We have several outbuildings that are like 10 by 20, 10 by something like that. And we built temporary kennels in there while the kennels were being put up inside the building. Because we put up a big metal building, and then our kennels are built out of concrete blocks that are... There's rebar in there, and they're all filled with concrete. This shelter is going to withstand an earthquake if there ever is one. The kennels are built so tough. And the whole building itself, it's designed to withstand 140-mile-an-hour winds. And, I mean, you know. So it's sturdy. It's very sturdy. It's just great to have a beautiful building that is going to withstand the storms, you know, and if we need to take in animals in the case of a storm, we have lots of extra areas where we can set up temporary kennels. If there's a storm, people need to get their animals somewhere so they can get into shelter. We have that ability now.
You know, I'm thinking if there is a major natural disaster, then you may find yourself very popular.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. It hasn't happened yet. We haven't been asked to take any animals during a storm yet, but... Theoretically, with the fenced-in areas and the 13 acres, eventually there could be an area where people could even bring larger animals if necessary during the time of a storm.
So how do the animals come to you? Are these strays or the unwanted former pets? Or how were these
A good majority of the animals that we get are owner surrender. At this time, we still take the animals that the police pick up, but the police and or the county is going to is building its own animal control facility where they are going to house the dogs that the police pick up for the first 5 days. And then I guess they're going to either adopt them out or send them out to other rescues, including us. We will take any of those dogs at that time. But a majority of our dogs are owner surrender or picked up as stray. Sometimes tourists pick them up and bring them in. Many times the police don't have time on a busy weekend or something to go pick up an animal. So either we go pick it up or somebody brings them to us.
And of course, after coming into your front door, that's just the start. I imagine there's looking them over from any medical treatment and starting to think about adoption. Boy, that's just the start of a whole process, right?
Absolutely. You have to take and look at the dog and observe their behavior and kind of test them out for behavior and see if they're aggressive or friendly or... and all dogs that come in as stray are kept for 5 days, regardless, waiting to see if the owner contacts us. We will post them on Facebook and things like that, looking for the owner of a particular dog. And then if they are injured, it doesn't matter. We take them to the vet immediately, regardless of whether we know who the owner is. Or we don't really worry about whether the owner is going to be able to pay us back. We just want to be able to help the animal. Because a lot of times, they've been hit by a car maybe, or things happen. And so we make sure that the animal is safe, warm, dry, and look for the owner. And then if we can't find the owner, then we try to start the process of finding them a new home. We spay and neuter them, microchip them, make sure they're current on all vaccinations, and then start advertising.
The whole business of advertising for shelters is an interesting one. I mean, my youngest cat came from Goose Bay and found him online. And I firmly believe there is no reason to pay a breeder anymore because you can find any animal you want online.
Oh, absolutely.
And so if you want a purple-haired Siamese cat, it's out there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of people will search for declawed cats because it's a very cruel thing to do, but a lot of people feel that they have to have a declawed cat. There is so many of them in shelters out there. Just about everything you could possibly be looking for. I know that through fostering animals myself, I have had every kind of cat you could possibly imagine, long hair, short hair, polka dotted, all kinds.
So is the Tillamook Animal Shelter, is it online or is there a way to access? If I wanted to find out right now, who's available, can I
do that? There's websites, like there's one called petfinder.com. Mm-hmm. And on those, you enter your zip code and what kind of animal you're looking for, dog, cat, or you don't even have to specify. You just enter your zip code and see what comes up near you. And you can set it, 50 miles. We usually tell people to set it for 100 miles so they can catch the Portland shelters too. And then it'll show you all the dogs available through rescues. Pet Finder is pretty much all shelters and rescues that list their dogs for adoption. We list on there. We list on adoptapet.com. Most often, I post them first on Facebook. Our Facebook followers, there has been so many times that a dog never makes it as far as Pet Finder. I will post them on Facebook and next thing you know, they have a home.
Better that way, really.
It is. And a lot of times people need help finding a home for their pets and they're wary about doing that because you hear all the stories about Craigslist and how people will take your pets and use them for medical research if you try to give away a pet. So we offer assistance to people with that, which makes it easier on us because we don't have to take the dog in. The owner keeps the pet and sends us pictures and a description of the pet. And then we screen the people who are interested in adopting that dog. We don't necessarily publicize that this is a giveaway owner dog. We just put it out like it would be a regular dog for adoption, take an application, and when we find people that we feel would be qualified to adopt one of our dogs, then we send the information on to the owner. The owner gets together with the potential adopter, and then the owner gets to see where their animal goes, and they get to be comfortable with this, with the solution to their problem, you know, and the, it just, the, they give their pet away, and it, I've had it work out really well most of the time.
Our guest this morning on Neocony View is Maria Nagy. She is the board president and director of the Tillamook Animal Shelter. I imagine, and it must be kind of awkward, but there've got to be some situations in which you meet a, you know, somebody who's interested in adopting a dog or cat, and you, you know, you're talking to them and you're thinking, you know, this just isn't a good fit. Does that ever happen?
And, oh, yes.
And how do you manage that?
Well, I would try normally. If it's just that I feel like a particular dog isn't a good fit, I will try to steer the potential adopter towards a dog that maybe is more suited to their lifestyle. If I feel that this person isn't necessarily somebody I would want to adopt a dog at all to, I won't. I just won't. It is very awkward. I imagine that there are people that don't like me very much because I have said no, but I have to do what's right for the animal that I'm trying to rehome. And giving a older person a husky puppy, and that's just an example, it could be any reason, but say an older person who doesn't get out and walk very much, giving them a husky puppy is just a setup for disaster. So sometimes people are led by, oh, what a beautiful dog. I just have to have that dog because it's so beautiful. And that's not really what you want to consider. You want to consider the whole thing. Obviously, your dog should be attractive to you. But you want to consider the whole picture. And I think a lot of times people don't have experience with certain breeds. And they think, oh, I'm going to go do this because I'm going to go adopt a pit bull because I think they need to be adopted. And yes, they do. There's way too many of them, but they're not a right fit for every household.
You know, as we're getting into the holiday season next month, I guess it's worth saying that, you know, the idea of a pet for a Christmas present isn't
terrible.
It's a terrible, I guess it could theoretically be okay in some cases, but the idea that you're going to bring during a high stress time of year an animal into a house and hope it works.
We always suggest that people, maybe if say your parents and you want to get a pet for your child, you know, if your kid is really little, then it's really your decision as parents. I mean, you're not going to let the 2-year-old pick which dog it wants. And it's also going to be the parent's responsibility. So that's one thing. But once your kids are a little older, you should probably involve them in the decision and make sure that everybody gets along with everybody and that maybe the dog you're picking is afraid of children. And you wouldn't know that until you have children around. And we don't have little kids necessarily running around the shelter that we can try out every dog on how they're going to react to a little kid. So we encourage people that gift giving of an animal is not such a bad thing, but do it in a different way. Maybe give a collar and a leash and a book about dog care and something like that to wrap up on Christmas and a gift certificate, and then go pick a shelter pet. You know, take the giftee with you and make sure that there's a connection with the particular animal that they're, you know, getting as a present.
Do you ever encounter exotic animals?
We did. We've had a few. Well, my friend is the proud owner of a giant African sulcata tortoise that we found stray in Nehalem, walking down the street.
There was a tortoise walking down the street in
yes,
Nehalem.
Okay. Yes, in Bayside Gardens, actually.
Okay.
Giant, and he's big. He's, you know, I don't know how many pounds he is, but he's bigger than a watermelon. I mean, he's a big boy. And I didn't know what to do with him. And so luckily, my friend stepped up to foster, and nobody came forward to claim their giant sulcata tortoise. And so she ended up keeping him. And we also, we we're the only shelter of any kind at this time in the county. So the Oregon State Police last year, they went and got Russian lynx. Somebody got in trouble for having a Russian lynx without a wild animal permit. And so the police seized this big cat, and then they didn't know what to do with it. So the Oregon State Police ended up bringing it to us. So we had this giant metal, the big metal cages like you see on National Geographic that they put the, when they trap a wild animal, they had to dart this cat and then get it into the big giant metal cage, and then they brought it to us. And we kept it at the shelter. And then my husband, who is the shelter manager, and he's the one that basically runs the physical operations of the animal shelter, he took and drove the cat the next day to the wildlife rescue that Oregon State Police actually set that all up. But Dan is the one that transported the big kitty. And luckily we had venison in the freezer from the year before his hunt, and we were able to feed the kitty.
What happened to the kitty?
It's at the rescue in Molalla. I can't remember the name, but it ended up moving in there. It was kind of a sad situation. There was a divorce, and the kitty had been very well taken care of for a lot of years, but apparently the owner didn't have a permit to do that, and you can't. No matter how well it's taken care of, you can't do that without a permit. And he was so out in the middle of nowhere that nobody really paid attention until the divorce and his wife told on him.
Maria Nagy is the president and director of the Tillamook Animal Shelter. Money. Where does the money come from to run this thing?
From the public. 100% from grants. And grants is something that we're just getting into now that we have the new building and we have much more expenses. We are getting our grant writing program up and solidified because that's going to be the most important thing to keeping this shelter running, is keeping the funds coming in. So otherwise, it's all public donations. We don't get any money from the county.
But you mentioned earlier that the county is setting up an animal control program. So
yes.
Why are they doing that and not, say, at least partly funding what you're doing so that they wouldn't have to do? Sounds like there's duplication of effort there somewhere.
We used to get funding from the county. They used to give us $20,000 a year. And 2 years ago, they decided that they could do it for less, I guess, that they didn't have enough money to give us $20,000 a year for doing it. And I believe the county shelters run through a nonprofit. So it's not actually like the employees aren't going to be county employees. Okay. I don't know all the specifics of the thing, but it's a 501c3.
But back to your organization, you're doing it on donations.
Yes, we are.
And I imagine as we get into the holidays, you are soliciting donations.
We absolutely are. We spent a lot of money getting the building up and much more money than we thought we were going to. And so we're still just a little ways away from being able to finish the building and have enough money to run through the rest of the year. So the building project has kind of slowed down immensely at this point. We still have to get the heating system paid for. We have to get our septic tank replaced, and we still have to seal the floors in the main building before we can actually move the dogs into there so that we can move the cats into the temporary buildings that the dogs are housed in right now.
And so if people are listening right now saying, I think this is a worthwhile use of some of my money, how can they get in touch with you?
They can find us we have a website, TillamookAnimalShelter.org. There's a way to donate on there. You can contact me via email, TillamookAnimalShelter@gmail.com. If you look up the phone number for Tillamook Animal Shelter, you're going to get me on the phone because I answer the cell phone pretty much 24/7. So we're pretty easy to get hold of. Our address is also on there. We're big proponents of buying local and using local companies. If somebody wanted to buy us some gift cards, you know, even to like the lumber, Nehalem Lumber, Rosenberg's, any of those places, we could use that stuff definitely because we're still building. We've bought a lot of stuff from Cardam. We've bought a lot of stuff from Habitat. All our windows came from Habitat. We got an awesome deal on windows from the Restore. You know, so we've been working really hard to keep the cost down, and we could just use help with donations of stuff.
It sounds like donation would do some extra work because it would just get spread out through the community, which is always
definitely
a good thing.
Our building, we ordered the building from out of town because there was nobody that manufactured that building here in Tillamook, but we hired a local company to put the building up. Brian Werner poured our concrete. You know, Lenig dug our utility holes because we had to have the power put in. We had to have the water put in. It's all done locally. All the labor, everything has been done locally.
Well, good for you and good for them. One final thing before we wrap it up. If I come across a stray dog, or for that matter, a cat, any advice on how I should handle it? I suppose I should be thinking about calling you, and you'll answer the phone. But in the meantime, what do I do if I need to capture an animal?
Be careful.
Be very careful.
Dogs can turn on you really quickly. And if you don't know the dog and he's acting odd, don't approach the dog. Just call somebody. Call the police. Or you can call me directly, 503-812-0105. My number's out there everywhere on the web. It's even in the phone book because we have a landline that rings directly to my cell phone also. So I would say be really careful and call somebody. And even if you think that you can keep the dog, that's fine. If you want to hang on to the dog some people don't want to send the dog off to the shelter. And if you think that you can securely keep the dog, do that. Call us anyway, and we can get the information out there. There's various pages on Facebook, Lost and Found Pets of Tillamook County. And there's also our website, United Paws. And we post that stuff. If somebody sends us pictures of a found dog or a lost dog, we post that stuff. So people get reunited with their animals really quickly now with the advent of the Facebook and the Facebook pages. So get the word out there that you found an animal. It's a little bit tougher with a cat, and up until we get the cat shelter up and running, there is no place right now to take cats in Tillamook County. We do it on a limited basis. If I think that I have somewhere that I can move the cat onto, then I can try to help you. We can always try to help you with the same process like it is with dogs. If you need to rehome your cat, say so, and we will help you advertise it and publicize it and try to find a proper home.
Well, all good pieces of information. And your website, one more time, is?
TillamookAnimalShelter.org.
And our guest this morning on Neocony View is Maria Nagy. She is the board president and director of the Tillamook Animal Shelter. What fun being back in Mildred's old studio.
It's good to have you back.
It's good. I'm enjoying this. We will see you next month on Neocony View.